Now, if I was required to wear a sign like this around my neck all the time, would it affect people's opinion of me? Now, maybe not in this particular context, but, you know, out there where they don't know me so good. And you can imagine that if I had to wear a sign like this all the time, it would affect my opinion of myself too, wouldn't it? Because I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd go, that's me. If others think I'm a loser, then there must be some truth in it. Now, we're going to meet a man today who had to wear a label. And the social stigma attached to that label was of the severest kind imaginable. We're also going to watch Jesus reach across the divide that separated this man from the rest of society and affirm to him that he is loved, that he's accepted in a very profound way. Jesus removes that label that's hanging around his neck. To be loved and accepted is one of the most basic of human needs. We need to be loved. We need to be cared for. We need to be liked. We need to be nurtured. We need to be wanted. We need to belong. We need to be infused with a sense of worth and purpose. And Jesus meets those needs for this man today in Luke chapter 5, and we're picking up in verse 12. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded and feared diseases in the ancient world. Not just because of the awful pain and disfigurement that a person would suffer from, but even more because of the psychological and the social pain, the social stigma attached to it, and the psychological trauma that a person suffered are beyond description, really. Physically, it was generally considered a life sentence if you contracted this disease. There was no known cures for this disease at the time. In fact, the cause and the cure of leprosy wasn't even discovered until the 1870s. The disease in its more advanced forms included severe aching in the person's joints and limbs, numbness in your extremities, the skin of the person would discolor in large patches, nodules or bumpy masses would develop on the skin, inside the throat, in the nasal passages. It would become difficult for this person to breathe with these masses that are growing inside of their nasal passages and their throat. The skin is often covered with ulcers or boils, which then become badly infected. The loss of fingers and toes is not unusual for someone afflicted with this disease, as they would become so badly infected they would have to be removed. The physical appearance and the disfigurement of a person with leprosy could be very disturbing, repulsive to look at. The suffering of a person with leprosy that they endured, it wasn't just physical, but it was this psychological and this emotional pain too. People with leprosy were social outcasts of the most extreme kind imaginable. There's really nothing in our modern society that compares with it. Nothing compares with the social stigma that was attached to someone suffering from this disease in those days. The law required that a person with leprosy had to live alone outside the camp or the town, away from all other people. They were required to wear torn clothes. They were required to keep their hair unkempt, uncombed. They were to cover the lower part of their face. And whenever they were in any place where there might be other people around, they were required to yell out, unclean, unclean, so that others would know that they were there. The way a person with leprosy was expected to dress and behave in public was the rough equivalent of them carrying around a sign like this on themselves all the time. Popular belief of those days was that leprosy was highly contagious, so people scattered. Try to imagine the emotional suffering that someone with leprosy would experience, dressing the way that they did, shouting unclean every time they're in public, warning other people to stay away, get away. And it would be just beyond our imagination, really, couldn't it? To get our head around what these kind of people would have to suffer. It says, this man is covered with leprosy. In other words, this man had an advanced case of the disease. And instead of keeping his distance from Jesus, as the law required, this man, he comes up to Jesus, he falls on his face to the ground, and he pleads with Jesus. Now, this is very dangerous for him to do. He's breaking some of the most emotionally charged social taboos in the world at the time. How would Jesus respond? How would he react? What would the people around do? It shows the desperation of this man. Have you ever been so desperate for a solution to your problem that you're willing to risk life and limb to have it addressed, to have it taken care of? That's the kind of desperation that this man was experiencing. He was willing to go to any lengths to be cured. It didn't matter to him at this point if the crowd stoned him to death for putting them at risk of being exposed to this awful disease that they feared so much. He had to try to speak to Jesus. Look at what the man says to Jesus. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Interesting. See, he has no doubts about Jesus' ability to heal him. But he wonders if Jesus is willing to heal him. If you're willing, you can make me clean. He's been shunned, he's been avoided, he's been hated all of his life by other people. Will Jesus treat him the same way? Will Jesus accept him or turn him away? Will Jesus show him kindness and compassion, or will Jesus be more concerned about his own personal well-being and reputation than this man's condition? His words also echo a common feeling that we have about God. It's much easier for us to believe in God's power than for us to believe in God's mercy. I mean, few of us doubt that an all-powerful God can perform any act imaginable. I mean, that's the definition of all-powerful. It means you can do anything. Okay, I can assent to that. But we have a hard time believing that God is willing to do it for us. Does he really care about me? Does God really love me? Is God willing to help me? That's the real question. It's not, can he help me, but will he help me? And the answer to those questions is yes. Yes, God's answer to you and me is the same that answer that Jesus gives this man. I am willing. God is willing to help you. God does care about you. God does love you. God is concerned about you. And just like in the case we have in front of us here, that help is not wrenched out of God. He gives it with a smile on his face. He loves to help us. Now the Lord, he doesn't always answer our requests the way that we think he should, though, does he? But he sees what we don't. He's able to look way down the road and see the future. He knows the best for us. He has a higher good in mind for us than we do. He knows what we really need. He knows what can destroy us and what is safe for us to have. My 6-year-old daughter, Riley, she asks me some of the craziest things sometimes. And there's no way I'm going to give her a lot of these things that she asks for. They're too dangerous for her. She's not ready to handle them yet. Dad, can I drive the car? No, you can't drive the car. You're six. You can't touch the brake pedal. Dad, can I use the power saw? No. Dad, can I use the axe to cut that tree down out there? Like, no. Can I hang my head and arms out the window as we're speeding down the freeway? No. Can I take this big heavy pot of boiling water off the stove for you? No. Lots of no's. And it's because she might not survive if I granted those requests to her. The Lord is a responsible father to us. He won't give his children just anything they ask for every time they ask for it. He won't give us things that will harm us, no matter how badly we want them. So sometimes when we ask for something from the Lord and we receive a no, it's because it's something that can harm us. Other times he says no because he's seeking to teach us something or to mature us in some way. But the bottom line is this, that we should trust the Lord as much when he says no to us as when he says yes to us. We should trust the Lord as much when he says no to us as when he says yes to us. Both answers come from a heavenly Father that loves us more than we will ever know. Verse 13, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. It says, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Jesus, he didn't have to touch this man to heal him. I mean, he could have just spoken the word and the man would have been immediately healed. I mean, we have examples of other stories of Jesus in the scripture of when he healed people when he wasn't even in their presence. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, for example, is a story about this servant that this Roman centurion had. And you'll remember the centurion, he asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus heals the servant without ever even seeing him, ever. He goes, okay, he's healed. He goes, thanks. Sorry to trouble you. He didn't have to touch him. The Jewish religious law said that anyone who touched a person who was unclean, like a person with leprosy, would also become unclean. People in that culture would never risk becoming unclean. No one would be so reckless as to touch a person with leprosy, especially. But Jesus does. Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches this man. Jesus' disciples, they may have been standing there watching what was going on and thinking, okay, Jesus, whatever you do, don't touch him. We have a good thing going here. Don't mess it up by doing something stupid like touching him. Like, you touched him. What are you thinking? Are you crazy? Don't you realize what you've done? Nice job, Jesus. Now our leader's going to get leprosy. Our whole future is ruined. Why does Jesus touch him? Jesus touches this man to express his love and his compassion for him. Jesus not only addresses this man's physical need for healing, but he also addresses his psychological, his emotional need for healing. I mean, this man probably can't remember the last time he'd been touched by another human being. But Jesus touches him. Jesus lays his hands on this man and he says, I'm willing. Be clean. Jesus understands this man's huge need for love and acceptance. And he meets that need in the most powerful and profound way imaginable for this man. Jesus touches him. I mean, can you imagine the psychological impact it may have had on this man if Jesus had said, hey, stand back. Don't get too close to me. I mean, don't you realize who I am? I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah of God. I don't want my holiness to be contaminated. You're healed. Now be gone with you. Jesus didn't do it that way. He touches him. And I don't think that Jesus cautiously, carefully, lightly touched him. No. I think Jesus reached down and he lifted him up out of this groveling in the dirt that this man was doing. And he pulled him close. He says, I'm willing. Be clean. What a profound and moving experience this must have been for this man as he hears these words spoken by Jesus, and he looks down at his own disfigured hands and he sees him immediately restored. It's ironic when we compare the real Jesus of the Bible with the Jesus that church culture has created over the centuries. The real Jesus, he touches with his own bare hands the most repulsed and feared of society. The Jesus of religious institution and tradition places him high on a holy pedestal, separated from people, not to be contaminated by the sin and the dirt of humanity. Quite a contrast. God has reached out and touched this sin-broken world through his Son Jesus Christ to meet its great need, to heal us of our own spiritual leprosy, to demonstrate to us that we're loved, that we're accepted by him, the God of the universe. God, he could have taken this standoff approach with us, but he didn't. He could have simply just pulled back the heavens and addressed our issues, our problems, our needs. But instead, he became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. He touched his creation to communicate to us in the most powerful way imaginable. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. May we never erect barriers between us and Jesus that God tore down 2,000 years ago, so that he could touch us and say to us, I am willing, be clean. Verse 14 says, then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus gives this man very clear instructions not to tell anyone, but to go and show himself to the priest and to offer the sacrifices for cleansing that are specified in the law of Moses as a testimony to them. The procedures to be followed are found in Leviticus chapter 14. It's very detailed of what he's supposed to do. Well, why does Jesus tell him to do this? First, because it's what the law of God stated was to be done when someone was cleansed of leprosy. Jesus obeys the law of God. And he wants this man to obey the law of God too. Second, because then the priest can declare this man clean, which will allow him to re-enter society completely. See, until he gets this clean bill of health from the priest, he's going to be rejected. And finally, because Jesus wants this man's healing to be a testimony to the priests of the reality of the healing power of Jesus as the Messiah. Why doesn't Jesus want him to tell people what's happened? We learn that from the very next verse. It says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. It's becoming increasingly hard for Jesus to accomplish and carry out all that he has come to do, because these large crowds of people who are constantly pursuing him now, and because of this huge emotional reaction and connection by the people to this disease of leprosy, the healing of this man, it just cranks the public interest up. Unbelievably so. Jesus said, hey, don't go tell people. We learn in Mark's gospel, the same story, that he goes around immediately and he's telling people. And if I was in his position, I'd have a very hard time not saying anything too, wouldn't you? I'd be so excited. Verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We get another glimpse here into the personal devotional life of Jesus. He was a person of prayer and a person who valued solitude with his Heavenly Father. And we need these things too. In closing this morning, we can feel like a leper. Our sense of guilt, our failures, our loneliness, our feelings of inadequacy, feeling rejected, of not measuring up, of not being worthy, of not belonging. Our sin separates us from God, from other people, from ourself. And Jesus wants to touch your life and heal you of your so-called leprosy. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are now. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. It doesn't matter what label you have hanging around your neck. If you'll come to him like this man does and ask Jesus to touch you, he will. He's willing. He wants to touch your life. He loves you. He cares about you. He really does. The question about God's willingness to help us is answered for us with a yes. He is willing. It's unfortunate, though, that often we won't receive what Jesus offers us until we reach that place of desperation, like this man does. Seems that we have to get to that point where we have exhausted every other means of help and survival before we'll finally fall at the feet of Christ and say, make me whole. Take what I am and make me whole. Jesus is right there every time to lift us up out of the dirt and say to us, I am willing. Be clean. Be whole. Be mine. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this story this morning of this man who experiences healing and cleansing and the way that you come and make him whole, Lord, and not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, God. You address the entire spectrum of human need. Father, we lay ourselves before you this morning. Ask that you would heal, Lord. You'd make us whole. You'd cleanse us, Father. For you are willing. You love your people. I ask you to touch each one here this morning, Lord. Reaffirm your love for them. God, that not a single one of us leaves here today with a doubt in our mind about your commitment to us, Lord, your love for us. Affirm that, Lord, for each one. In Christ's name. We ask these things, Lord. Amen.